This is the Chad Whittle Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. You know, the way we live, work, and even worship all change because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Today on the podcast, my guest is Senior Pastor Mike Wears of Northridge Christian Church in Milledgeville, Georgia. On this episode, we'll discuss how the pandemic impacted services at Northridge and other houses of worship. Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, glad to be here with you today, Chad.
So this August will be my third year living here in Milledgeville. I still feel, in a way, even though it's my third year, I still feel sort of new to the area, still learning about the area, learning about Milledgeville, and learning about Northridge, which is where I attend worship on Sundays. But one thing I'm really interested in to learn more about is your background. We've not really had a chance to sit down and discuss how you got into ministry and how you ended up at Northridge.
Yeah, I ended up in ministry from the time I was in high school. I felt God had a call. And so I went off to a Bible college. It's now called Point University. And it was out of there. I've been a director of a camp. I directed a college ministry at Florida State University and been on the staff of a couple of churches. And I had never been a senior pastor. And so at the age of 52, I became a senior pastor and moved here to Milledgeville to lead Northridge.
And it's really been interesting the past couple of months watching services at Northridge online and watching how, because of COVID, how you've had to change what you did. Of course, we didn't have services in person anymore. We switched those to online. Tell me about that process, switching from traditional services in a building to online only. How did that go? What were the challenges?
Part of it was an easy thing because we'd been live streaming services already. So every Sunday, you know, our services are on at 9:30 and 11, and then we would leave them on demand after that. So we were already doing that. But when everything stopped and we couldn't get back here in the building, it meant that we had to begin editing and putting things together and figuring out new ways to do music. So it wasn't a hard pivot for us in one way because we were already doing it and we didn't have to figure out the technology side. And a lot of my friends in other churches had to figure that out. But it became the challenge of figuring out what worked online that would reach people the same way.
Yeah, I know from the beginning watching services to where you are now, I saw that change. The services have gotten a lot more interactive from when you started at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. At the beginning, it's pretty much traditional service online. You have the music, you have the sermon, and that's it. But now I can tell that you really have put all your heads together and thought of a lot of different ways to make it more interactive. So if, you know, since you're not there in person, you're trying to create that experience online by having, I know after the service, Facebook Lives, where people can send messages to other staff at Northridge. So it's really gotten a lot more interactive as the months have progressed here.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's been one of the things that we knew we had to do because when we have somebody here in a room, they're kind of captive. But when they're online, if we're not engaging them and holding their attention in different ways, they're probably going to go on a little vacation about halfway through to somewhere else on Facebook or somewhere else online. So we've had to engage. We've been using online host who reiterate maybe a line in a song or they reiterate something that's said in the sermon. So it just is kind of keeping people focusing them back on the content.
Yeah, that's very true because when it's online, there's thousands of websites. There's Facebook, Twitter, so much to distract people from the service. Sometimes within the service on campus, right? People have their phones and it's easy to tap Facebook during the worship service. So you really have to try to figure out a way to make it interactive. And I believe that you've done that with some of the strategies, some of the segments that you've had before and after the services.
Yeah, we tried to, you know, we do what we call the after party, and it really is just wrapping things up and reminding them of things, and they're interacting with people by text and other ways. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun, but it's also a lot of work to get it all of it together and moving in the right direction. And, you know, it's a funny thing because some of our platforms we can do it on. Facebook, we can just roll right into it. And on our other platform, we kind of have to, I don't even know what they do to make it happen, but it's been fun to watch us as we've explored how to make all that happen together.
Let's go back, say, 15, 20 years, well, maybe even 10 years. Mm-hmm. If COVID-19, if the pandemic occurred 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you don't have 4G, you don't have, I guess, well, you had streaming online, but not nearly as fast and the speed and, you know, the quality, not nearly as good as today. Could you imagine trying to produce a weekly service outside the walls of the church for people in the community without the ability to Facebook Live, without the ability to live stream? That would have been a challenge.
Yeah, you know, and I think probably the only way 20 years ago would probably have been by CD and just delivering it to people because churches just didn't have the technology. And I think it would have been such a bad product that it wouldn't have held people for very long. You know, in fact, 20 years ago, we might have been thinking of cassettes. I hate to, you don't even know what a cassette is because you're so young. So that's a.
I know a little bit about cassettes. I I had a couple of them when I was younger.
Okay.
But not many, though. CDs, pretty much, and now streaming. Yeah. But that would have been a challenge. Imagine your whole week would have been spent recording the service on cassette tapes or CDs for people.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would have been a challenge. So during
not very engaging.
No, not at all. During this process, moving from traditional services to online only, what have you learned?
Oh, we've learned a lot. You know, we automatically, when we first started, you know, we said we're going to shorten the experience because we know it's going to be harder to keep people engaged. So, you know, we started doing research and landed on around 40 minutes is where we needed to end up. Our teaching got shorter. And then we just did a lot of research into the different platforms. We're using Facebook, Livestream, which is owned by Vimeo, and then an online church platform. And we've had to research those because different platforms have different copyright enforcements. And so, for instance, Facebook, if you don't have a copyright licensing with your experience online, then they'll take out anything that might be copyrighted. So, you know, it leaves a pretty bad, you know, if they take out a song because they don't think we have a copyright license for it, it kind of leaves a pretty big hole. And that was a huge learning for us the first time or two, is that certain things we had to make sure they understood we had licensing for.
That's actually one of the things, one of the challenges that I figured you had through this process is copyrighted music. You got to be very careful about that. And, you know, I know in when we have service on campus at the church, you have the little CCLI, you know, little information on at the end of the song. So having service online, that brings in a lot of new copyright issues.
Yeah. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why we decided not to go with YouTube. My daughter works for the company that owns YouTube. I would love to use them, but they are so strict on copyright that they just make it almost impossible to put a service on without having something censored out. So it's we had to pick what we could use the easiest.
And I've noticed too, through the week on Facebook, you're producing a lot more content, videos, to try to maybe, I guess, try to feel people like, to make them feel like they're still connected to the church, even though we're not able to meet physically. I've noticed the daily devotions on Facebook.
Yeah, we've decided, you know, and I'm going to be brutally honest here, is that what we know is that there are a lot bigger churches that have a lot better product online than we do. And so as we went into this, we knew the thing that would help the most is for us to remain nurturing the relationships we had with our folks that attended here. So that was one of the things we did, is put a lot more content, made it available just to help them see faces that are on staff. And then the other thing we've done is we've just been trying to call people constantly and check on them just help them maintain a relationship and connectedness here. So that's just been our strategy, is just get out there and let them know we're still here for them.
Looking forward, hopefully COVID-19, the pandemic, hopefully this soon will be behind all of us, I hope. But looking forward, post-COVID, what do you see from a media standpoint, Northridge? What will be your strategy? Will you continue what you've done now? Will you, you know, take what you've learned, expand upon it, or try to go back to just streaming services on Sundays?
Well, you know, when we started, we were in person with an online presence, not much of one. Then we just became all online. I think our next step, which actually starts this Sunday, is we'll be in person, but that won't be our primary. It'll be online will be our primary with some people here. And then once we get beyond the virus, I think we will be putting equal amounts of resources into the online digital world as we do here on the campus. And we will also be looking for more ways to put more of the content that we have online and really help people become involved at Northridge, either whether they're here in person or whether they're halfway around the world, is to help them have this place maybe calling, would be helping them with their spiritual formation.
It's really amazing just how much media is out there now. Social media, mm-hmm. podcasts, YouTube, Instagram. There's so many ways now to reach people, and depending on the platform, you may reach a younger audience, an older audience. So there's so many ways now for a church to reach those that are not attending through media.
Yeah, and you know, that's been one thing that we know through this, is we're reaching more people. You know, if we look at the numbers and we figure out, we know we're having people from all over the place that are watching through invites of people that attend here, and some through who are just surfing the web. But we know our reach is a lot broader. What we can't tell from the online numbers too much is how long they're on. You know, if they're on long enough to really make a difference or not.
It's been very interesting times and unique times, and a great learning experience from your perspective about how to use media to share with others outside the four walls of a church your message. So it's been really a really unique time for everyone.
Oh yeah, it's made us rethink, because we really were just an in-person church with an online presence that we didn't really consider how we could best use. And now we've seen that, and so we know we've got to go forward with that and put more resources into it. And that's going to be a challenge you know, in the future is how do we sharpen that tool and really work in both worlds with the resources we have.
Especially trying to reach young people because mm-hmm. they live their lives on their iPhone, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Snapchat, TikTok, and whatever else comes out next. TikTok's the hot app right now. It'll be something else in a few years. So, you know, I would like to, I don't know, there's probably not a way to look at the numbers to see how many young people are watching and because of that coming to in-person services, or they plan to, but no doubt social media is a great way to reach a younger audience and try to bring them into Northridge.
Yeah, you know, there's a group out there right now called Gloo, G-L-O-O, and we've started looking at them and trying to work with them, and they can actually embed something into our product that will give us a better idea of who's watching and how long they watch. So we've been exploring that because we need to know that demographic, and then we also are looking at how we target. Our target is a 34-year-old male in this community, and we want to know how we can better target them and understand who they are and reach them through media.
So your target is me, apparently, 34-year-old male. So you're trying to reach me.
Are you 34?
I'm 34, yes.
Okay, we're after you, man.
Well, you got me. I already attend. Your marketing has been successful. You got me.
Well, we have one success this year. This is good.
So. You know, I wonder, because of the COVID pandemic and people sitting at home, they don't have anything to do, you cannot go anywhere. I wonder how many people have been scrolling Facebook and they saw Northridge or some other church where they live. And maybe because of that, they've taken the time to listen to a sermon where otherwise they might never would have done that.
Well, we actually have stories of that, of people that have been watching or just been scrolling through and saw something and it piqued their interest. And then the next thing we know, you know, they're contacting us and asking us questions about the church. So, you know, sometimes maybe even boredom, you know, helps people as they're trying to find something to do. I'll think that God's hand had some part in that.
Well, I know there's this saying that this sports talk radio host, at the beginning of his show, he always says this, and it really can apply to you as well. He'll say, welcome to, you know, the name of his show, wherever you are, however you may be listening, on the radio, on television, watching the stream of it, on YouTube, on podcast. You know, that's probably really the approach that not just sports talk radio hosts need, but churches as well. You know, reach them wherever you are, in person, online, on social media, you know, however you're accessing this content, your iPhone, a web browser. That's really a good, plan for churches to have as well, is to use all the media that's out there to reach people, all the different ways.
Yeah, I have a friend who's at a church that's much larger than ours, and typically he starts off his message by saying, I want to welcome the people from this campus, those of y'all that are watching online, those of y'all who are, you know, it takes him about 2 minutes to go through all the campuses and all the different methods, but it's a, you know, you can tell they've really focused on how they're going to reach more and more people.
Those big churches like that, that's got satellite campuses, I don't know how they can remember some of them, they have so many. I don't have to remember every location when they're on stage discussing it.
Yeah, I know he has them listed on their screen that helps them remember things. So he has it all listed right there for him. So
that's smart, because that would be really embarrassing. Be like being a comedian and you're, hello, Milwaukee, and you're in some other city.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast, let alone a whole list of names like that. So
Right. It's It's amazing what churches have been able to do because of social media, because of streaming, because of all this new media that exists. It's really opened the door for creativity to bring mm-hmm. people in that otherwise might never would attend a service in person, but you're reaching them online. So that's good.
Yeah, there's a guy in San Diego, Larry Osborne. He's a pastor at North Coast Church out there, and he was kind of the father of the whole video-driven campus. And he's a little bit older than I am, so he really was a visionary. And and now when we see how that has expanded in so many different ways, it really, really does open up a door for us to reach more people.
Well, hopefully, this is all behind us soon, and we'll all be able to be back on campus, because there's nothing like, while I love technology, the internet, my iPhone, it's all fun, it's cool technology, there's really nothing better than being in person around other people at a worship service. It's different from just sitting at home on your phone. I mean, that's great if you're not able to attend that week, or you're sick, or you're traveling. But in-person interaction, I believe this pandemic's really made a lot of people, including myself, really put things into focus more about what's really important in life and what's secondary. Getting outside, family, friends, getting out in nature, getting away from Twitter, Facebook, all of that stuff.
Yeah, it really is it has kind of stripped away a lot of things that weren't as important and really showed us what is important. And I think that's been in the midst of something that's really terrible, there has been some good that comes out of it. And I think it's made us focus back on our relationships more and taken away a lot of things that really weren't all that important.
Well, Mike Wares, I hope to see you soon in person at Northridge for a service in person, not through a screen.
I'm with you there.
All right. You can visit northridge.online to learn more about Northridge Christian Church here in Milledgeville. And that's going to wrap up this edition of the Chad Whittle Podcast. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or Google Podcast. You can also listen at chadwhittle.com and listen to prior episodes on my website. Follow me on Twitter at CWhittleMedia and Facebook.com/ChadWhittleMedia. Until next time, I'm Chad Whittle, and I always appreciate your listenership and support. God bless.
Subscribe to the Chad Whittle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or listen at ChadWhittle.com. The Chad Whittle Podcast with Chad Whittle. Copyright 2020. All rights reserved.